Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. ध्याय।
Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvidakacharya Asadhara Sadhu Shri Sriman His Divine Grace Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Premanande Hari. All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristagudai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamirte Namaste Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vicharne Nirvise Sarasunivadi Paskatyade Sitarne Oma Ganatvanandas Yaganjana Salakaya Chaksu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Scha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivastati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8. Chapter 12, Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva, text number 6. Tava Eva Sharna Ambojam Shreya Kama Nirashisha Visrija Ubayata Sangam Munaya Samupasate Tataiva Charnam Bojam Shreyas Kama Nirashisha Visri Jobayatak Sangam Munayak Samupasate Tavaiva Charnam Bojam Shreyas Kama Nirashisha Visri Jobayatak Sangam Munayak Samupasate Tava Your Eva Indeed Charna Ambojam Lotus Feet Shreya Kama Persons Desiring the Ultimate Auspiciousness The Ultimate Goal of Life Nirashisha Without Material Desire Visrija Giving Up Ubayata, in this life and the next. Sangam, attachment. Munaya, great sages. Samupasate, worship. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees or great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, constantly engage in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Purport. One is in the material world when he thinks, I am this body and everything with reference to this body is mine. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yam ahang mameti. This is a symptom of material life. And the materialistic concept of life, conception of life, one thinks, this is my house, this is my land, this is my family, this is my state, and so on. But those who are munaya, saintly persons, following the footsteps of Narada Muni, simply engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without any personal desire for sense gratification. Aniya bilasita shunyam jnana karma yadavritam. Either in this life or in the next, the only concern of such saintly devotees is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus they are also absolute because they have no other desires. Being freed from duality of material desire, they are called Shreyas Kama. In other words, they are not concerned with dharma, religiosity, art, economic development, or kama, sense gratification. The only concern of such devotees is moksha, liberation. This moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explained this fact while instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word mukti pade in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him that there is no need to correct any word in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that mukti pade refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who offers mukti and is therefore called Mukunda. A pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He is interested only in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Tavaiva charnam bojam shreyas kama nirashisha visri jobya yatak sangam munayak samupasate. Pure devotees are great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, constantly engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pratistai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesa Shrunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. Maharaj Vrishabhdev, speaking to his 100 sons, said, Nanyan deho deho bhajam riloke kastan kaman arhate vidbhujanye tapo dibyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat tasmad brahmya sokyam tvanantam. That my dear boys, that now that you've obtained this human form of life, that you should not spoil it just like the hogs and dogs who eat stool. That human form of life is meant specifically for tapo dibyam, a divine austerity, by performing which one's heart becomes purified, and by such purification of heart, one gets the opportunity to have eternal life with unlimited happiness, which goes on forever. And the next verse he says, Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tapo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam Mahanteste samachitak samantak vimanyavasurida saravoye. That the process of being eligible to enter into such a blissful eternal life full of consciousness is mahatseva, to serve the devotees. And if one doesn't serve the devotees, then he has to serve the senses and those who are interested in service to the senses. Therefore, tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also cautioned us that one should give up association with persons interested simply in sense gratification. Asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar stri sangi eka asadu krishna bhakta ar. Those who are simply interested in sense gratification, those who are simply have their own conceptions of life, and therefore they make their own rules and regulations, they're asadus, and those who are not believing in Krishna or in Krishna's devotional service, one should avoid their association, because by such association one is sure to be misled, and instead of achieving a highest goal of life, one is sure to achieve something else, especially in this age. Apart from Krishna consciousness, people are simply interested in the most mundane subjects. As Prabhupada used to say, with the election of a new government, people are thinking that there's going to be a big change. But if you examine what the people are running for office, what they're saying, as Prabhupada used to say, they're barking like dogs. That I am American. One dog is barking, I am American. Another one is barking, oh, I'm from Belgium. Another one's barking, oh, I'm from Holland. So if dogs get together and they discuss by barking at each other, what will be accomplished? There's nothing to be accomplished. Similarly, as long as the so-called leaders of society keep themselves in the same bodily concept of life, then they're more or less on the same level as the animals. That I am such and such animal, I am such and such animal. Actually, the animals are superior in one sense. That if you go to America and you ask a dog, what are you? He simply says, I'm dog. He never thinks I'm American dog. If you go to Belgium, you ask a dog, what are you? He says, I'm also a dog. But he doesn't have the concept that I'm a Belgium dog. Nor do the people say, here comes a dog, he's a Belgium dog. So, at least they don't have the national concept of life. They have the species concept of life, but they don't have a national concept of life. Similarly, the sparrows or the birds, they fly from one country to another without any visa. When the birds fly in, no one checks their visa. What country you're from? Do you have a stamp? No one thinks here is a Russian bird. Don't let him in. So, this concept of life is only amongst human beings. No one thinks it's an American cow or it's a German cow. Everyone, but only the human beings have this artificial designation. I am such and such, I am such and such country. So this is all bodily designations which have nothing to do with the soul. It is all artificial. But to get free from this artificial designations, one has to take up the devotional service of Krishna. Otherwise, by serving anyone else except for Krishna, one is sure to fall into some kind of materialistic designation. And by serving such a designation, one is sure to get another body. Therefore, the goal of life is mukti, but not the mukti that simply impersonal liberation, merging in Brahman. Mukti means actually freedom from material concepts of life. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the statement, Janma dyasya ton vayat itaratash chartesh vabhigyatsvarat, that Krishna is the source of everything. Therefore, Krishna can't be some relative designation, or things in relation to Krishna can't be something relative, because everything comes from him. And Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmak prayojita kaitava utrat paramo nirmatsvaranam satam. The Srimad Bhagavatam specifically eliminates these ideas that the goal of life is dharma. Dharma meaning some kind of religious, sectarian concept of life, or dharma may also mean working in order to satisfy the senses. Generally, one follows the rules and regulations of the Vana and Ashram system, or the Vedas, because one has faith that by doing so I can make money. I can get some benefit. Of course, money in the Veda concept of life, they were not thinking of making money per se. Wealth is not judged by how much money they have. Just like nowadays, the government prints up pieces of paper, and you have a piece of paper and you think, I'm rich. But as the Germans found out after World War I, when they had barrows of paper, barrows of money, to get a loaf of bread, they'd load up all their paper money into a barrow and go to the store, spend 5 hours counting it, and then they get their loaf of bread. So although nowadays people are thinking that by some piece of paper I'm rich, but this is all illusion. A Veda concept, one is rich if he has sufficient grains and some land. Because if things become difficult, if that paper money is no longer, you can't exchange it for grains and food, then it's useless. You may have the nicest block on the building on the block, but if you have no food, if you're starving in it, you won't be very satisfied. Therefore, Veda concept is wealth, and where does wealth come from? Krishna says, Anad bhavati bhutani parjanan anasambhava jagna bhavati parjano jagna karma samudbhava. The wealth comes from grains. And where do grains come from? Without rain, there is no grains. And without the performance of sacrifice or jaga, without following the rules and regulations of the Vedas, then eventually the rains stop. Or they gradually decrease, and then eventually they stop. And where are the jaga, what is prescribed duties born of? They're born of the Vedas, and the Vedas come from Krishna. So, unless one is agreeable to follow Krishna's instructions, he won't get anything to eat eventually. Therefore, real wealth comes from surrendering to Krishna. So dharma, according to the Veda concept, is just a little step towards surrendering to Krishna in order to get something to eat. But this is not a very high concept of life. It's not a very high consciousness. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam rejects this idea that we're going to study Bhagavatam so we can get something to eat. Just like people go to school nowadays, and they work hard studying, memorizing all kinds of things that are useless. But why do they do it? Because they have faith that by studying, by going to school, I'll get my degree, and then I can get a job, and I can get some money, then I can buy some bread. I can get something to eat. So basically they think that knowledge is to help them get something to eat. It is just like the ass. He is loaded up with piles of laundry or whatever else, or bricks. In India, you see that all the time. They're carrying tons of bricks on their back. And his only thought is that at the end, I can get some, my washerman, my master, he'll give me a handful of grass to eat. So grass is everywhere. He can just bend down, if his neck wasn't breaking, and he could just get, you know, pick up the grass anywhere. Similarly, to get something to eat doesn't require a PhD degree. There are many animals who have less degrees than a PhD degree, and they're happily eating. But people are thinking that unless I go to school and study and spend so much money, study all kinds of ridiculous philosophy and technology, then I won't get a job and I won't be able to eat nicely. I'll starve. But anyone with some common sense, they could see that if I simply get a little land and I throw some seeds on it and I take out the weeds and for a few weeks, then after a while I can get something to eat. I don't need my degree. But people criticize that he doesn't have his degree and yet he's eating. This is not fair. All the rest of us, we had to go through so much torture to get our degree so we can get a job, so we can get something to eat. That he's not breaking bricks, what's wrong? That's just like people, they criticize the devotees without any job, still somehow or another they're eating. So this is not fair. But the fact is that they're people in general are uselessly wasting their time, laboring hard, just to get what would be easily available if they followed the rules and if they understood the laws of nature and what the objectives in life are in terms of what their real necessities of life are. So Bhagavatam kicks out this idea of working hard just to get something to eat or a little bit of sense gratification. Prabhupada, when he went to New York, he was surprised. Because when he asked one old lady, he said, when are you going to get your son married? She said, well, if he can support his family, then I'll get him married. So Prabhupada came from India, where even the poorest man on the street had nothing, just one cloth, he would be able to get married and support his family. But in America, such a rich, technologically advanced society, so many cars and so much big buildings and so much technology, still, to get married and maintain one child in a family is a big deal. Well, in India, with no technology, no supposedly people starving on the street, even the poorest man can live happily with a wife and a few children. But the aim of Srimad Bhagavatam is different. It's to establish what is the actual goal of life. But that doesn't require a material position. It requires nirmatsaranam satam, freedom from enviousness. By associating with the devotees, by becoming satisfied by hearing about Krishna and performing devotional service in any circumstance, how to become free from this envious attitude. Dharmak prayodrita kaitavo trat paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra tapotralam mulanam. Because material consciousness that I am this body and that my goal in life is somehow or another to increase my material situation, which is based upon enviousness, competition. In other words, I may be in whatever position I'm in, I simply look around and I see other people in similar situations than me, and I compete with them to better my situation compared to them. In America, they call it keeping up with the Joneses. That if Mr. Jones, he got a new car, and my car is 1 year old, then my wife comes to me and says, you don't love me. If you love me, you get a better car and a newer one than he has. And he says, well, I do love you, but we can't afford it. And then she says, well, use the credit card. I'm so embarrassed. So in this way, according to my situation, I compete with others. I may have millions of dollars. There's no need to work hard to get another $10 million. But because of enviousness, because someone else has a little bit more than I do, therefore I struggle unnecessarily to get another $10 million. So that when I die, my children can squander it, taking drugs and partying. But I'm working hard, so what am I working for? Not for the necessities of life, but for my false prestige, enviousness. Therefore, the Bhagavatam kicks it out because this struggling to increase one's sense gratification unrestrictedly out of enviousness is the cause of all kinds of material miseries. It's the cause of our material identification, which causes all our misery. Instead, the Bhagavatam establishes the actual conception of surrender to Krishna. Taking up devotional service in any circumstance, recognizing who is the actual proprietor of this material world, what is the actual purpose of doing anything, who is actually the boss we should be satisfying. Material world, we think my material senses are my ultimate boss. But in spiritual life, one understands I'm not this body, therefore my senses can't be my ultimate boss. Because even my senses are controlled by the demigods who are controlled by Krishna. Therefore, if I can satisfy Krishna, then automatically my senses will also be pleased. for us to ultimately be satisfied. Therefore, actual liberation means liberation from our concept of life, that I am this body, and ultimately that I am something other than Krishna's servant. Even those who are liberated from this bodily concept of life, if they don't understand that they're Krishna's servant, their liberation is only temporary, because they have to serve something. Therefore, if they don't take up the positive service to serve Krishna, eventually they get bored of doing nothing, of being in a neutral state of service, and they take up their material service again. But if one takes up the positive service, as Parikshit Maharaj told Shukadeva Goswami, that you've told me about so many pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, about His creation and maintenance and eventually His annihilation of the material cosmos, so I wish to hear about other pastimes which I have not heard of before. That Krishna, hearing about Krishna and developing love for Krishna is so auspicious that liberation follows automatically, that there is no need for a separate endeavor. That the conditioned souls within this material world are searching after the happiness derived from sense gratification. But such happiness is always piercing the hearts of the conditioned souls. But I'm actually experiencing, simply by hearing about these transcendental pastimes, one can become steeped in transcendental pleasure and not become affected by such sense gratificatory desires. In other words, the ultimate liberation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, is achieved by hearing submissively about Krishna, and then according to our understanding, according to our realization, trying to apply that understanding within our life. And if we try to apply it, then Krishna gives us direct experience of devotional service. In other words, Krishna gives us the intelligence by which our lives actually become Krishna conscious. And if we become Krishna conscious, Krishna reveals Himself to us, then whatever activity we're doing under any circumstances become full of happiness. And if Krishna doesn't reveal Himself to us, whatever circumstances we're under, whatever we're doing becomes a source of distress and misery and anxiety. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Jnane priyasam udapasta namanta eva vivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya varatam stane stita shudigatam dhanuvangmana obir ye priyasto jita jitop yasi taisri lokyam. The main thing we have to give up is our tendency towards speculation. Generally, everyone speculates in the material world, because we're in difficulty and we're trying to figure out how to solve our difficulty. Ultimately, that turns out to be liberation. So everyone's trying to figure out how to get out of our difficulty. And even someone comes along and he reveals how to get out of the difficulty, people think he's another speculator like we are. It's his opinion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one should give up this tendency to think that everyone has the same, you know, is everyone's giving their opinion, I have my opinion. If one goes on the street and meets someone and gets into a conversation with them about philosophy, one will discover that they'll have one philosophy in the beginning of the conversation, another philosophy in the middle of the conversation, and they'll end the conversation with another philosophy and think that at the beginning they had the same philosophy. If you defeat them, then they'll think that actually they defeated you. That actually you came around to their philosophy. In other words, we're so addicted to mental speculation that we think everything is more or less a product of speculation. But if one can accept the knowledge coming from a person who's superior, and ultimately the supreme superior person, Krishna, accept his knowledge as taught by persons who actually have direct experience, then there's no need to change any position that we're under. Simply one has to apply it sincerely. And the result is that if we do that, then Krishna, if he's pleased, he reveals himself and our lives become perfect. And that's called mukti. So, tatte nukampam su sumikshamano, bunjana evatma kritam vipakam, Ridvag Vapuvira Vidada Namaste Driveta San Mukti Driveta Yo Bhukti Pade Sadayavak. So here in that verse, Lord Brahma, he's confirming that we have to simply learn tolerance, not blame everyone except for ourselves for whatever difficulty we're experiencing. The tendency in the material world is to think, I'm such a nice person, if there's any problem, I can't be the origin. It must be God, he doesn't love me, he's prejudiced, he doesn't like my face. There must be some reason why I'm suffering other than my own past misdeeds. But a devotee analyzing things, he knows that if there's any difficulty, I must be the root cause of it. Therefore, he's tolerant, and he goes on with his service to Krishna, praying to him constantly to make some advancement in devotional service. And finally, by doing so, Krishna will become merciful, because praying for Krishna's mercy to engage in his service, then the result is that tesham eva nukamparta mahama ganajam tamaha nasham yatma yatma vavashto ganadipena bhashvata. If one is actually sincerely seeking Krishna's compassion, then Krishna within the heart will give one intelligence, knowledge, realization, and by such realization, all the darkness of our material misconceptions will be ended, and we'll be able to understand our actual position as Krishna's eternal loving service. And one who understands that, he has no more problems. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yeah, as long as it's false ego, there has to be material envy. Therefore, unless we get spiritual intelligence, because false ego is born out of perverted intelligence, our acceptance of the false ego, because we accept perverted intelligence aimed at gratifying the mind and senses. And the mind and senses, they're envious because they want others to be a victim for their gratification. The real happiness of the material mind and senses is that someone else is suffering, and that way I'm enjoying, that I'm actually controlling and enjoying others. But if one can understand that, first of all, I can't control anything, and what kind of enjoyment is it watching other people suffering or other living entities suffering? You know, the relish that this cauliflower is like surrendered to me on my plate, and I'm sticking with a fork and it can't say anything back to me. And it's not a very high level of happiness. It's ultimately a happiness full of material anxiety. When will the cauliflower get back at me? Therefore, if one sees things properly, or as it says, for one who can see things properly, then gradually the influence of the modes of material nature cease. So when we can see that actually everything is Krishna's property, and that my real duty is, under any circumstance, engage this energy in Krishna's service, under his authorization, through his representatives, then there's no more false ego. And then there's no more envy. Instead, one will understand that whatever I'm doing will actually be beneficial to others. As long as it's sense gratification, desire for sense gratification, then I'm looking for victims. And if there's devotional service, then I'm actually benefiting others by serving Krishna. If we think that the energy of the soul is sense gratification, then we'll think that if I increase people's sense gratification, then I'll be benefiting them. But the actual energy of the soul is spiritual. Therefore, he can only be satisfied by spiritual energy. So even if I add one drop of spiritual energy, I'm actually benefiting people. Anything else? Yes. Well, when we talk about, we know that envy enviousness is the one thing that's not in the spiritual world. That's the unique thing we're experiencing here. The one thing that was missing in the spiritual world that we were desperate to experience, so we came here. So now we can see how nice it is to be envious. We can stay here eternally relishing our enviousness. Because that's the only thing we have to give up if we go back to the spiritual world. But that's why everyone's here, they're attached to it. Why should Krishna be God? I'm going to become God one day. I've been practicing long enough, I should get... Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Ki Jai.